KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
Josie? Here. Paul?
Paul is here.
Brenda?
Still here.
Brenda? Daly?
Here.
Samantha? Samantha? Tom?
Here.
Tim Smith asked to be excused for today. We have a call.
Okay. Thank you. So, who's in the King Cove office?
Yeah. Sorry, this is Annie. Do we have to have four, we have three assembly and one advisory. Do we have
We have Chris, we have Josie, we have Paul, and Daly.
Chris,
well, we don't have Chris yet.
Chris is not here yet.
Oh, Chris isn't. Oh, sorry. Oh. Yeah, we have three.
Oh. So we have to, well, we either wait or. So is Chris on his way to the office, someone said?
Yes, he said he'll be attending.
Oh. Okay. Well, we could do, while we're waiting for him, we could see who's all in what area, so. King Cove office.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, there is just myself, Jackie, and Seward Brandle.
Okay, thank you. Cold Bay. Nelson Lagoon. False Pass. Tom is there, right?
Yeah, I'm on here, but I'm not in the office, Mr. Mayor.
Are you at a designated location? You're supposed to be.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm not at a designated location. I better get off here.
Are you going to go to a designated location?
I can't get there.
Oh. Yeah, that's kind of the way it's set up. You know, we did this thing during the pandemic where you didn't have to be in a designated location because everything was shut down for the pandemic. But now that that's not there, I think the way our code reads, you have to be at one of the designated sites to participate.
Okay, I understand. I guess I must overlook that, though. So I'll get off. That's fine with me. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry.
A few years ago, you could be anywhere. Maybe it's time to revisit that policy, too. You know, now that we don't have any big time with anyone around, maybe there's a compromise.
Currently, we have to go by the policies we have. I can't change them on my own. So I follow the directions that were set up by the assembly. If you want to change them, that's fine. But I can't change them.
It was just a friendly suggestion for the future. That's all it was.
It was just a friendly answer. So
maybe.
So, Accutan.
Just me, Josie.
Thank you, Josie. And Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor, there's myself, Annie, Glora, Ernie, Daly's here, Paul's here, and Talia.
Okay, thank you. And at some point, it's just Beverly and myself. So I guess we could wait a few minutes. Otherwise, we'll just have to reschedule or cancel.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Sam. I'm here.
Okay. Thanks, Sam. Agenda, and there's no objection. I'll have the agenda stand as written. Do we have any public comments on any agenda items? Hearing none. Anyone feel they may have a conflict of interest on any of the items on the agenda? Okay. So we're down to five. We need to finish this up before we move on. So it's the swearing in of newly elected officials for Assembly Member Josephine Shanigan. So I'll turn this over to Trevor.
Josie, can you read the oath of office, please?
I, Josephine Shanigan, do solemnly swear that I'll support the Constitution of the United States and State of Alaska and the laws and ordinances of the Aleutians East Borough, State of Alaska, and that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of Assembly Member, so help me God.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Josie. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Before us, we have the minutes of October 16, 2023, special meeting minutes. We need a motion and a second.
I'm making a motion.
So moved. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Second. I heard a second.
Daly.
Okay. Thank you, Daly. Anybody have any corrections or additions to the minutes? Okay. If there's no objection, the minutes will stand as written. And we need a motion to bring the finances for September 2023 to the floor.
I'll make a motion to bring the financials to the floor.
Thank you.
Second in line.
Okay, thanks, Laura. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Schmack, in Assembly. So in the packet are the September 2023 financials. Just two points of interest to point out is the line on the very first page, R01201, with the interest revenue. With where we are placing our finances right now, we're making quite a bit of money, which is fantastic. So in September alone, we made $116,000 in general fund interest revenue. So we're at about 68.9% of where we anticipated to be 3 months in, which is great. The other one is the raw fish tax line item, just to point out that in September of this year, we received about $298,000 in fish tax revenue. The five-year average is about $402,000, so we have a 26% decrease from the previous five-year average. So it's a lot less, which I think everybody anticipated, but we're tracking it as closely as we can. So. Just those two things. Everything else seems to be tracking along as it should.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Annie on the finances?
Warren has a question for finance. Annie, say on the raw fish tax now, you said $4 million. We got $2.7 or something like that. And then is there any more going to be coming in at all, or what do you anticipate there?
What we've seen in October, it's very low compared to the past few years. I'm no economist or fish expert by any means, but I see that trend continuing. Hopefully in January with a season and fish being processed in Accutan, that'll bump up. But I see at least October, November, December probably being lower than what we expect. Am I right?
So I guess, okay. I know we got till June to get that million there.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Paul. Thanks, Annie.
I just wanted to note that Ernie usually includes a pie chart with our incomes, and it's a little bigger this month and offsets the amounts, I suppose, is one way of looking at it. But it's just an easy way of looking at things, pointing that out, because some people might not have caught it.
Yeah.
Maybe they did, but thanks. Well, thank you again, Ernie. I don't thank you enough. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
Okay. After. Okay, any other questions on finances for Annie or Jackie? Hearing none. Call a question on the motion.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Sophie?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. So in your packet is the investment report for your preview. Does anybody have any questions on it? If not, we're down to the consent agenda, and we have six resolutions on the consent agenda. I need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
Motion, Warren.
I make a motion, Mrs. Bailey.
Motion by Warren, seconded by Dulcie, I think. Yeah. Annie, you want to walk through those?
Yeah, of course. So I'll start with Resolution 2412. This resolution supports the full funding for the State of Alaska Harbor Facility Grant Program and the FY 2025 state capital budget. As you all know, the majority of the public boat harbors were constructed by the state in the early 60s and 70s, and then eventually they were transferred over to the communities. So the maintenance now falls on the municipalities to maintain the infrastructure and or if they want to build new infrastructure. So this is just supporting the full funding, which is $7.6 million for, I believe it's three communities, Sitka and Juneau. And we're just asking to support this because one day when the borough or one of the borough communities apply, we would hope others would support it as well. And what my favorite thing about this grant is that it is a 50-50 match, so the communities are also putting skin in the game, which is, and it's usually an economic driver. So I think this is a great program, and administration recommends approval of this resolution. The next two resolutions, Ernie will discuss.
Thank you, Annie. These are both related to John Jensen, who's been a friend to the borough. He's on the North Pacific Council for Resolution 2413, requesting Governor Dunleavy nominate John Jensen for reappointment to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. John is going to finish his second term this year, so he's eligible for reappointment. And we'd like to see him on there. And this would go to the governor. And if the governor nominates him, then the Secretary of Commerce would make a decision on that nomination by June, I guess, sometime in June. Resolution 2414 would just be honoring John Jensen's 20 years of service on the Alaska Board of Fisheries. I would note Assemblymember Chris Babcock has joined us. And so John has been a real friend to the borough on the Board of Fisheries. Recently at the February meeting, he was the one who authored the RC-190 that has taken us pretty well. And at the most recent, with the new board, any changes to that were rejected by the new board, 1-6. So this would be presented to Mr. Jensen, hopefully a signed original copy. He'll be here in December. We could give it to him then. That's all I have, unless there's questions.
Any questions on those two resolutions? Okay, hearing none. The next resolution is Resolution 2415, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract agreement between the borough and Hickey & Associates for lobbying consulting services for 2024. This is a pretty standard resolution that came before you, but essentially Mark Hickey has provided lobbying consulting services for the borough since 1998. The 2023 contract ends on December 31st, 2023, and can be renewed by both agreement of both parties. The proposed contract is before you, and it would commence on January 1st and end on December 31st, 2024. The borough would pay Hickey & Associates retainer $3,500 a month and reimburse them for any pre-approved extraordinary out-of-pocket and travel expenses. And then Hickey & Associates would pay the annual APOC registration fee and any normal office overhead expenses. So with that, this is pretty standard, but this is before you as well. Thank you. Any questions on that? Okay, so resolutions 2416 and 2417 are regarding the fisheries business tax. Resolution 2416 adopts an alternative allocation method for the FY24 shared fisheries business tax and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FMA2, the Aleutian Islands area. This resolution, like I said, it's adopting an alternative allocation. All of the municipalities within the FMA2 west of Unimac receive an equal share of 60% of the program receipts. The eligible cities shall share the remaining 40% of the funding allocation on a per capita basis, and the FY24 total allocation to the borough should be $114,675.64. The second resolution, 2417, adopts an alternative allocation method for the FY24 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fishery business activity in FMA3, the Alaska Peninsula area. And this one is for all municipalities within FMA3 east of Unimac. Will share equally 40%. The remaining 60% will be divided among the eligible cities based on a per capita basis. The FY24 total allocation to the borough should be $4,196.35. So this is something we have to do every year. We submit our application to DCCDED to receive the funding. Any questions on that?
Yes. I guess it's time to start thinking the effect of Trident's imminent move to North Harbor, how it affects that formula, those two formulas. We can get a report later. It's not moving today, but it probably will soon.
Yeah, and Jackie, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't actually think that it's impacted, is it?
The formulas?
Yeah.
No, all those formulas have been agreed upon by all of the entities within those FMAs already, and I don't think that any of them are going to have any impact on us, just besides, you know, the fisheries impact.
But we can get you a better answer at the next meeting, but I think that, or a more thorough answer, at the next meeting.
And one other quick question on a different subject. If you pass the Hickey resolution, when I was at the expo, apparently they got a third person in charge of the Tustamina replacement, and nobody seems to know for sure what they're doing next. Anyway, if you talk to them and say, hey, you're with us again or whatever, say, by the way, what's the latest on this ferry? People would be interested, that's all. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I think that was the last that was the last one on the consent agenda. May I ask you back?
Okay. Thank you. So if there's no other questions, question on the motion?
Danny?
Yes. Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We don't have anything under public hearings or ordinances, so we're down to item 12. So we need a motion and a second for resolution 2418 authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a work order in an amount not to exceed $40,000 for the Cold Bay terminal repairs. This is Chris. I'll make a first.
I'll make a motion.
Chris made the motion, second by Josie. So, Annie?
Yes, so Resolution 2418 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a work order with Gould Construction for maintenance of the Cold Bay Terminal in an amount not to exceed $40,000. The borough has identified maintenance items that need to be completed in the terminal. On September 12th, the borough issued a work order request to Kukar Construction and Gould Construction, who are both term contractors for the borough. Gould Construction was the only entity who responded by the September 26th deadline. They proposed to complete the work outlined in this for $33,360,000. However, I'm proposing to add a small contingency fee because everything seems to cost a little bit more, and we'll have some extra funds just in case, or if something else is identified while the contractor is on site that needs to be repaired. Funding is available and will come out of the Cold Bay Terminal maintenance line item in Fund 22, and there's also funding available for terminal maintenance in Fund 20. And with that, the borough recommends approval of this resolution. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
A couple quick questions, Annie. The list of things that are going to be done if this resolution passes are, where did that list come from?
So Dow, when they were in Cold Bay, did a walkthrough with Kurt Utek, and they identified that these items needed to be fixed. So it was a walkthrough with our Cold Bay terminal manager and Dow.
I'm going to support the resolution. However, I still like to go to bed. I just want to bring it up again. I'll bring it up again. Thank you.
Okay, maybe Warren here, I got a comment. Could we get a couple extra keys made, maybe give a key back to Theo there for the terminal in Cold Bay?
This isn't part of this resolution. You have comments on the resolution?
Don't worry, I pulled that comment.
Thank you, Warren. Other comments on the resolution? Okay. Hearing none? Question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. We don't have items under old business or new business, so we are down to reports and updates. Annie, you want to lead us off?
Yes, Mayor Sturbach, thank you. So our reports in the packet is quite long. There's a King Cove Road update. Since the last meeting in October, Department of Interior's work on the supplemental impact has hit a little bit of a snag. The prior Deputy Secretary of Interior, Tommy Boudreau, did resign on October 31st. Laura Daniel Davis has been announced as to be in the acting position currently, and she used to serve in the Obama administration as the Chief of Staff for Secretary Jewell. So there's a little bit of a change there in leadership. Currently, it is now apparent who is in charge of the SEIS, which is Bob, what's his last name, Gary? Bob?
Shane Walker.
Shane Walker, sorry. So he's in charge of the SEIS now, which we learned this week, and we've been meeting at least yesterday, and every 2 weeks we'll be meeting with DOI, the King Cove Corporation, the City of King Cove, and others to discuss the status of the SEIS. So, yeah, that's pretty much it at the moment on that issue. The Sandpoint Pool, on October 21st, the Borough Dow School District met to initially discuss the next steps of the pool. They're outlined here in the packet for you, but the pool was still losing an average of 1 to 1.5 inches of water per day. Leah, who is the pool manager, did expedite the drainage of the pool, and she's identified some additional issues with the liner, and she took a ton of photos and videos, which have been sent to Dow and to a contractor for review. We're going to replace the hydrostatic relief valves that are in the bottom of the pool and also possibly replace the grates. However, if we do that, it might be a huge undertaking to bring them up to code. So we're looking at whether or not that's necessary at this moment. Dow has determined a mechanism to test one of the lines, which has a square hole, which was extremely difficult to plug, but there's this testing ball that they're going to use to test that line. And then on October 31st, Dow, Councilman Hunsaker, the borough, Leah, met with Renosis to discuss the pool. Renosis was the ones who had originally put the liner in, and they have some repairs that can be done to the gutter in the liner. These are all temporary in nature because the life expectancy of the liner is at its end, but they came up with some repairs and they're going to put a proposal together, which we should receive any day now, to go out on site and teach Leah how to put the patches on and also how to they'll conduct work on the gutters. And then we're going to determine a mechanism to block the drain boxes, which they figured out, and then we'll systematically fill the pool and check to make sure nothing else is leaking. And then also the flow rate is not sufficient, which I believe it probably hasn't been sufficient for some time. And as we're updating things, just other things are not working properly. But I think they've got a solution on how to make sure the proper valves are in so the flow will meet the rate that it needs to have it operate. And then lastly, Dow for the borough has engaged Councilman Hunsaker to research the pool replacement, and they're working on that for us so we can figure out how much it would cost to replace the pool in its entirety.
I got a question on the pool. Mm-hmm. So that liner that she found some leaks in, that's the new liner that was put in there?
No. Oh, no. Okay. No, this is
we
the old liner.
We haven't put a new liner in.
No.
Yet. Okay.
We've just been patching it.
Okay.
And,
okay.
There's a few more holes in it.
Okay.
Things that need to be fixed. Yes, Paul.
Okay. The leaks are, you know, they don't fix themselves. So, as I said last meeting, I'll necessarily repeat myself in a slightly different version. We can just dig a little bit, cut some of the cement out with a cement saw and follow the pipe. And even if we don't find a leak in the pipe, it's either the pipe or the pool now. That's all it is. And we'll know a lot more and for a lot less money than some of the other options we're considering. So I would politely encourage the borough to find a way to look for the look to dig up the pipe and see what follow it and find the leak. It's like you would any other leaky thing.
Is the pipe buried in cement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just on the top. Okay.
You can saw through it.
And it's probably metal, so it's probably over time and
we redesigned those.
Oh, okay.
It's been mine.
Okay.
It wouldn't take too much. I would guarantee it. I guarantee it.
I know how important that pool is over there, you know, and it does benefit the other communities, too, and King Cove goes over there and stuff, too, for things. in the school there, you know. I'd so like to see us be able to get to the bottom of it, but then, you know, I think it's going to eventually come down to we're probably going to have to replace that whole thing. We don't want to hear that. So, I mean, when are we going to stop, you know, putting the Band-Aid here, the Band-Aid there, and you know, maybe by 5-10 years, and then we're back to square one again. So, I kind of agree with what Paul's saying. You know, we got to get to the bottom of this. I still can't understand the way they can't figure out where to recontrol it. It's leaking that much. It's just doesn't.
Well, like Leah says, it's like an old car. We fix one part,
yeah,
and then the next part
yeah,
breaks.
No.
And then the next part breaks.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been what's been happening.
No, no, I
so
understand that.
We
yeah.
put new and beautiful, and then
yeah.
the next thing can't keep up.
Because those things were held together because you didn't have this much pressure. Now you put this new pipe in, and you got this more pressure. Now it's easy. No.
Okay, so the Colgate dock, on October 31st, it was announced that the state received a $43.3 million PID grant for the construction of a new dock in Colgate, which is extremely exciting. This will include necessary surveys, geotech work, and analysis, design, permitting, and the replacement of the dock. The state is the lead on the project, and they also are going to provide the match, which is fantastic. And the borough and the city will be involved throughout the life of the project. We are meeting, I think, tomorrow to kind of initiate the initial discussions with the state on, like, the dock grant and condition inspection. So that's going to start tomorrow, and we'll know more on what their plans are. To enter into the PID grant itself, just based off our own experience with Sandpoint Harbor, it takes a really long time. And there's going to be a lot of work they're going to have to do.
So with this grant and then the match, mm-hmm. that should suffice, or
I
hope
so.
We hope
I mean, that's in this year.
I mean, you know, we hear $43 million, which sounds
yeah.
like a lot,
yeah.
but we know the extent of what it takes is going to take to
right.
to redo that dock there. And so,
I hope so. And
it's something that needs to be done.
Yeah, okay. And the beauty yeah. of it is it's a state project, so if it goes over, that they'll have to kind of figure out.
And what's the, have we heard any more on the fuel situation? Did this?
No, they're still working on a
okay.
on a fix for that pipe. One of them, I think, is back up and running. So. Okay, so the Colgate Terminal, we discussed that. You already approved that resolution just a few minutes ago. There is a comment here about Colgate Terminal access that you guys can read, but essentially to just summarize, we do have subleases with Aleutian Airways, Grant Aviation, and Raven. These outline numerous requirements that have to be met, one of which is that the prime lease is with the state, and they have a lot of requirements, and that the sub-lessee agrees to those terms and conditions. It says who can use the aircraft apron, boarding and deplaning of passengers on that apron. There's a rental rate that's been determined, and then there's also indemnification clauses, labor of damages, insurance requirements, and et cetera. This does not permit air carriers who do not have a sublease with the borough. They can't access the terminal from the tarmac side, but the individuals can access the public can enter the front of the building during business hours. And there's a couple different options in Colgate for travel. So, I've just been asked about it, and I wanted to lay it out. You have a sublease. You guys can, they can access the tarmac from the back of the building, from the apron side. If they don't, like Lake Park and others, they go to Frosty Fuels area and stuff like that to use to land. So I just wanted to lay out why it is as it is, that they have a sublease, and there's just a ton of requirements that have to be met. It's a liability if we just put people in the back that don't have leases with us. Clinic, we are moving along on this project. It's exciting. So the 65% design has been completed. We did go release an RFP on October 24th for soliciting qualifications and pricing information from general contractors to renovate the clinic. So this is a construction manager general contractor role. So they are going to help with the design and then move into construction if their information, or if their dollars might come in reasonably. We did receive three proposals by the November 14th deadline. I have not seen them yet, but we are setting up a review committee or selection committee to go through those. And the schedule is kind of laid out below. So I think that by June of 2024, the clinic should be completed. At least that's the tentative schedule for now. ACTM, we touched base on this during the workshop, but we are putting together a work order to replace the back stairs to the mechanical room, repair the back and front entryway, and replace some of the windows. So that's currently being drafted and should be released soon to contractors to do that work. And then we also have some work going on at the Falls Pass School with electrical. Those parts have arrived, and then there's some boiler issues, again, that we're dealing with right now that we just recently learned about. The float project, we did get the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation water quality certification for this project. We also sent our engineering risk register in, which is a requirement, and a draft of the grant agreement. Those were submitted to MARAD. MARAD instantly came back on the grant agreement with a ton of requirements, so we're reading through those and trying to address those right now. But we are still in the process of trying to meet their requirements for that project. Sandpoint School, at the last meeting during the workshop, we did have a white paper on the Sandpoint School. It was asked of me how much we have spent on school repairs that were outlined there. So work beginning in 2017, and this includes electrical, mechanical, control, painting, and pool work. We spent about $1.5 million on repairs. Strategic planning, we've started the process internally with staff for this, but the strategic planning session is scheduled for January 10th and a partial day on January 11th. And then we'll move into our regular meeting right afterwards. So please, Assembly, book out those dates, and I think Beverly will be, if she hasn't already been in contact about travel for that. And then lastly, the fishery analyst position has been filled. Charlotte Levy has been hired for that position, and she's basically continuing her work she's already been doing, but she has been hired for that position. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie?
Hearing.
Yeah, Warren here.
Thankful. Go ahead, Warren.
Maybe, Annie, we could go back to the Colbay terminal there. I think I jumped the gun on an earlier resolution, but me and Alvin talked about this, but anyway, I thought about it for quite a while, but I know that Colbay Terminal and the carriers that are there who have subleases with us, there or leases with us, like Grant Aviation, for instance, they have a subsidy they're working under that they're able to be able to sustain a lease with the borough for some space in the terminal. But then when it comes down to Grant being broke down, and the only person in the Alaska, Fondy Alaska Peninsula that actually flies beyond Sandpoint, for instance, that's where he's based out of. The only guy, I mean, there is no other one. There ain't five guys trying to ram through the door in Colbay to get at the passengers to bring them to King Cove. We almost have to beg to get to King Cove if Grant isn't flying. And there's, there's enough chaos going around just trying to get in and out of King Cove. It's a nightmare. And then when you get to Colbay, if you don't have enough money to put yourself up for the night, then you're going to have money to pay Theo to get over here. The only guy on this Alaska Peninsula that's actually putting forth the effort to haul people around. And I know he hauls a lot of people for the borough with the school district and with everybody around here. I feel we should be, have open arms to welcome them in there to be able to haul passengers when Grant's broke down. They're the ones with the big fat subsidy here. And if he could come in the front door then go out that side door to get back to his plane with the people, if he could work something out, deal out with Grant, if he's flying for him then. just like, don't shut him out. One of these days he's going to be gone. He'll say, hell with this, he's done. I have a big concern about that, because that could happen. He's a true blue, damn near born and raised out here. I know he got here when he's a teenager. I got to give him credit. He's been flying out of Lagoon for years. He made an air taxi for himself. He does a lot of work in Anchorage now, and he's still putting the effort in to fly our kids around here. So I'm at odds with this. I want to see him be able to come and go out of that terminal, to be able to cover for these other airlines that their track record of flying in and out of here, King Cole with people, is pretty low, and the mail service isn't like it's the best in the world. So I hope that we could rethink this and make it work for all of us. I just hate to have him flying our students around with a bad conscience about what's going on in Cole Bay. It's pretty simple. It isn't like there's 50 airlines trying to get in a tarmac all at once. I know in the summertime it might get a little hectic, but then there's I'm sure that he knows all the other air carriers out there, because they all have to fly to get her out here. So I don't know what if it's that big of a deal to be able to, he takes care of our back here in King Cove. King Cove is really worried about getting people to and from King Cove to Cold Bay when Grant is down. And then to be able to drag yourself through the mud unless we build a boardwalk back there or something, so nobody has to drag their suitcase through the mud to get to his plane and make it all dirty, you know, that type of thing. So I think I'll leave it with that. I hope I didn't miss anything. But anyway, we got to take our hat off to that guy. He's the only one out here, so that'll be all. Thank you.
Can I comment along those lines, too?
Okay.
No, I agree with what Warren's saying. It's nice that Lake Clark, lands in King Cove. I took off yesterday out of King Cove on Lake Clark when it was gusting 70 miles an hour. And it was pretty spooky. And we've got a lot of elders in our community that will not fly Lake Clark just because of that simple thing. And when we've got an air carrier over in Cold Bay that all they have to do is make some excuse and they don't fly and they're still getting subsidized, it is really a pain in the butt. Most people would like to fly Raven or Aleutian Airways. I flew Aleutian Airways here back at the beginning of October. In fact, I flew, Alvin was sitting right behind me, and I'd much rather fly Aleutian Air, and probably 60-70% of King Cove would probably rather fly Aleutian Air. It's nice what Lake Clark does, but it is scary for those that do not like to fly. And I think that if Theo's trying to help out, he's not trying to, run Grant out of there or Aleutian Air or Raven. He's just trying to help out the communities where Aleutian Air and Raven don't land in our backyard. And I think that, I think that there's something that we could probably come up with. I don't know if he still has a contract with flying the kids around in our school district, but when the kids are stuck over there for 4 or 5 days and they can't get back to King Cove because Grant's not flying and he has to come in there and jump through a bunch of hoops. I mean, we played this game before, and I think that, we could all come together and try to come up with some plan. Like Warren said, he's a tremendous help out out in our area for, the smaller communities, False Pass, King Cove, Nelson Lagoon, those communities where we don't have the planes land in our backyard. Like Sandpoint and Cold Bay. So I'd like to see if we could come up with some idea. I understand the insurance and all that stuff, but I think that there's something that we could probably come up with to offset that. It doesn't happen that often, but when it does, it is a pain. So that's all I got to say.
Okay. So I'm going to answer part of this. So you remember a few years ago, we had these big discussions at the borough level about Grant not fulfilling their obligations. Mail was stacking up. I don't care if it was Actan, Ginkgo, False Pass. People were worried about their meds weren't getting in. They couldn't figure out why Grant wasn't flying. So we listened to all this and we
took it into account, and then we made up a form, and we sent it to all our communities, and it was online, and basically you had to check off a couple of boxes, like if it was meds you were worried about, you ordered them on a certain date, you didn't get them, mail, other type of things, to show that the airline was getting subsidy, but they weren't fulfilling the contract according to the needs of the communities in the borough. We did this for over a year because everybody said we needed to do something to help correct this. We put the forms out there. You didn't have to mail them or anything. All you had to do is drop them off at one of the designated borough sites or at a city office. In over a year's time, we got less than six replies back that we could forward down to Essential Air Service, FAA, and everybody else. So the only thing we didn't do was fill them out for people. So when it came down to actually participating and trying to change something in each of the communities, we didn't have anybody that wanted to participate in it conventionally. So that went by the wayside. And then as we worked to open the terminal building up in Cold Bay, actually the first two people that we approached, because they were local in the area, was we approached Steele and we approached the other little one that worked out there. Either. And neither one of them said they want to spend any money. Nope, they're not doing that. So to operate, because we're on state land, we have certain things we have to do to operate. Well, once you open it up to put airlines in, and of course we've got, you know, we have FAA, weather service, that type of thing at one point, but there's a lot goes into the contract. And each one of the tenants in that building, there's a set rate per square foot of what's charged to be in there. And that covers maintenance, cleaning, everything inside the building. It's heat, lighting. So each tenant pays a portion of that through a formula of their square footage and the square footage of the common areas. So they ran through the hoops. They've got stations in there. They pay their bills, but they also pay for the upkeep of that building, and they pay the heating, cleaning, and lighting cost of it. So just to hand out keys to somebody else that wants to come in there wouldn't be fair. And if I was a tenant, I'd be pretty upset if just Joe Blow and anybody was coming in through the door and you're paying for everything that takes place inside the building and they just come in and get to come in for free. So looking at it from that point, I am not willing to do that. The only way it could be fair is if we just made it free for everybody and then the borough just picked up the tab. But that wouldn't be fair to the people that live in the borough either, especially the fishermen. The fishermen pay all the raw fish tax. So if you did something like that, then you would have those that fish pay for everybody that travels. So, I mean, you can keep going down this road, but realistically, if people are unhappy with the service they're getting from one air carrier, I think if we unite under the borough like we tried to do before, we could go and try and get changes made to it. But I'm not in favor of turning it into a free-for-all for some and have the other ones pick up the tab. If they want space in there, that's fine. If they need to raise their ticket prices a few dollars to pay for whatever their share of the cost of terminal operations, then I think it would be fair to everybody. That's all I have. Unless there's other comments.
Yeah, Mayor, this is Daly.
Go ahead, Daly.
So I worked, you know, at the for the care carriers there for many years in Cold Bay, and I worked at our terminal there
you know, at Raven, and Theo brings the passengers in for Raven and for Illusion, who are there renting the building. So, you know, he brings them a lot of their business. So my suggestion is, because I don't know why he wouldn't be able to work out a something with, you know, with them, or he's been coming in there for many years and he hasn't been bothering anybody, and I never heard any really, you know, people getting upset about him coming, you know, taking the passengers out, or he doesn't get in anybody's way usually, you know. But, you know, I don't know how he could work that out, if he could work something out with one of them. Is that a way he could, you know, be able to bring passengers in, or I don't know.
Daily. So, because we're on state land and it's state lease, state has really strict rules on how leases are let out. And one of the things that they don't allow is some subleasing. And that's what you're talking about. That's what would happen. And I think under the current state laws, that's not allowed. So, you know, you have to remember now, this is not, yes, the borough does own the building, but we don't have control over all aspects of how the building is utilized or leased. It has to be approved by the state of Alaska. So it's not as simple as, I mean, it sounds simple, like, well, you own the building, just give them a key, or, you know, charging $5 a head and let them in, and all the different things that's out there, but because of state laws, it's a little more complicated than that.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
Could we maybe go back to maybe setting up something now with internet being out in all of our communities? Is there a way that we might be able to set something up, like a portal or something on the internet, where people could voice their concerns and everything as to the essential air service that's being provided out there?
I suppose you could.
I was on the borough when we set up the forms, and I know, I believe it was Laura that was kind of handling it, or a public information person, but I think maybe if we opened it back up and we really educated the communities that really rely on Grant and told them that, hey, if you want change, this is what you're going to have to do, and let it go and see what happens again, and if it falls through, then I guess we got our answer. But I think with the internet now, maybe if we set something up online, maybe we'll get a better response. I don't know. I mean, if it can be anonymous, that would even be really good. And I don't know, maybe that was the problem too. People didn't want people seeing them drop off a form or something, you know. And so I'd kind of like to see maybe if there's something we could do again with getting our community educated and telling them, hey, this is the way things are gonna have to change. This is the way things are gonna change. So,
yeah, no, that'd be fine. Actually, that might be something if we've got the time frame to do it, and when we have our next face-to-face meeting here shortly, something that all the assembly could discuss at a table together.
And just put out there how important this is going to be if we want change in those communities where, you know, Illusion Air and Raven doesn't land in their backyard. And I'm not knocking the communities where the plane lands in their backyard. That's awesome, and that's great. But, you know, I think if we approach again putting this out, maybe some of these smaller communities and you know, I know King Cove is not that small, but, you know, we're kind of in the same predicament with our smaller communities, you know, and educate them and tell them, hey, this is the way things change. Maybe things would be different. So
That's all I got.
No, I agree with you. I mean, when you look at the Sequin has very good air service as far as getting in and out. You know, we don't have to swap planes, go to smaller planes, crawl up and down off of docks. And I really feel bad that people are still doing that. And, you know, of course, part of that goes back to the old Leather Hammer rules. But I agree with you. And I think if the staff could figure out somewhere to put a 10, 15-minute thing in this in our next face-to-face, maybe we could hash this out and come up with something that we could try again. And hopefully this time it would get a lot of input from the community members that must be frustrated to the max with the type of air service they're getting. I know I would be. Other comments? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Talia.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. My report is in the packet for the Mayor in Assembly. I'm going to start off with the Healthy and Equitable Communities Grant. Just a quick recap, this is a grant where the borough is partnering up with Eastern Aleutian Tribe to purchase and install two body sidewalks for the City of False Pass and Nelson Lagoon. Quick recap again, DPH has agreed to provide $109,000 in funds in accordance with the terms of an MOA. And on October 10th, I did submit our quarterly report to the state of Alaska. And on November 12th, I was told by Affordable Funeral Supply, that's when they anticipated they would ship out the coolers. As of yet, they have not been shipped out. The company is still going through some internal issues. But I am thinking that by the next assembly meeting, I can't foresee why they can't have these coolers shipped out. They're pretty simple. Once they're received, should be able to just plug it right in and have it accessible to the communities. So I do apologize for the delay and the difficulty that's been going through this grant process, but I am staying on top of it. And again, by the next meeting, I do hope to have some more solid answers for you guys. Next is the DEED grants, the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. On November 3rd, the DEED did announce the availability of the FY25 school construction and major maintenance capital improvement projects, initial agency decision list. The priority lists are used by the department, the governor, and legislature to determine school construction and major maintenance projects for capital funding during the upcoming budget cycle. Really great news. DEED has recommended the amount the borough was requesting in supplemental funding of the $3.8 million. This is a really big win in a series of first steps. And I will say that CERC did note that they found that the condition assessment that was recently done by Dow to really be a beneficial factor in our increase in score. We are number 10 out of 95 districts that applied. So we're doing really, really well. Now the next step is two additional steps will take place. They'll go through reconsideration where the districts will requested if they found that the initial findings, if they found any type of issues, they can go ahead and request reconsideration. And those publications are anticipated to be sent out on mid-December. After reconsideration, there is a final agency decision that takes place, and DEED will publish the final list to account for any changes that are made post-reconsideration, and the results of the hearings are scheduled to be released around February 2nd of 2024. Once that's done, it then goes to the legislature, and ultimately it goes to the governor, and by July 1st, 2024, we will have a concrete result of what we'll be funding for this project. Again, that's when the state budget is released. In terms of next step, the borough has decided we are not going to apply for reconsideration. Our scores are pretty high enough that we don't need it. And we're going to go ahead and reach out to Deed to amend the initial project agreement to go ahead and see if we can move from some funds from construction into design. That way this project isn't sitting. I know a lot of people want things done in the school, and I did have an opportunity to visit couple weeks ago, so I see the dire need, and we are actively working on it. iServices, so great news, the servers for Anchorage and Sandpoint have been installed. It's functioning very well. I have heard that the ones for the King Cove office have been sent out. They've been shipped and delivered. They're still planning on when they'll go ahead and get that installation and that integration process to move forward. Video conference rooms, those have also been completed and successfully configured for the cities of Cold Bay, King Cove, Fox Pass, and the village of Nelson Lagoon. The city of Accutane does have its own, the one we're looking at right here. So we won't need to get another one. We can utilize theirs. But it's a really awesome system. I had a chance to go ahead and take a look at it on November 11th. I mean, this thing does absolutely everything besides dishes. I was just so utterly impressed. So during that meeting, it was also determined that iServices will actually need to go to the communities to set up and wire. It's pretty complex, and the mayor has gone ahead and authorized that quote for today. So they will be planning their travel out there to the communities to get this installed. And I just attached some images so you guys could see what we're looking with. The configuration, it comes in six different packages, the wiring. It's pretty sick. I'm thoroughly impressed. And then maintenance connection. Again, I did travel out to Sandpoint on October 18th. I am planning out to go to King Cove and Falk Pass after Thanksgiving to go ahead and train staff again on how to use maintenance connection and continue to utilize that site, because we're really trying to stay on top of our maintenance so things, we're not reacting constantly and turning out fires, but instead we're responding. And then I finalized everything with the regular meetings attended, and that's it. And if anyone has any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Tanya. Questions?
I have one. This is Chris.
Go ahead.
I appreciate what's going on with the morgues, and I do. The Cold Bay one is included in there. Yeah. And I you know, trust that you will stay on top of that. King Cove, we ran into two incidents already where it would have been very, very helpful if a morgue would have been in full pass.
Yeah.
You need to stay on top of that. I know that you will do that. So, yeah. And they are, I know the one that we got in King Cove was just uncrated, plug it in, and it started working right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be simple.
Yeah.
Had a body for it right away.
Actually, we did. Yeah. The next day, yeah.
I got there.
Yeah. I mean, I hope we don't have to use them, but they are very beneficial for our community to have.
Absolutely.
Okay. Other questions? You know, when I was a little kid, my folks ordered a free chest freezer from Sears. It was about 7 foot long. Maybe those were the original of these things. I don't know.
We won't go there.
Okay. Thank you, Talia.
Thank you, Mayor.
Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report is also in the packet. I start off with what's going to happen on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council in December. They'll meet at the Hilton. If you're at AML, you can come on over to the Hilton. The main thing there are groundfish specifications for 2024. That'll be final action for the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska. Also, some crab items may have final action. Of interest, under the B reports, the Gulf of Alaska PCOD allocation. I'll be interested to read that in the executive director's report. And then Cook Inlet Salmon, the secretary amendment, which we'll talk about here in just a second. And then there are some rationalized fisheries program reviews that are upcoming. Amendment 80, And AFA, which is Pollock, will be February 2024, so that'll be interesting. Also, Bering Sea Crab and IFQ programs. And then a new RADS program will be coming online, supposedly, or at least considered by the council for Bering Sea Potcod in June of 2024. So under... Oh, and then I have a couple links. One of them doesn't work, the 2024 Bristol Bay Sockeye Salmon Forecast. This link doesn't work, but I do have that link on the Natural Resources website, aabfish.org, also on the Facebook page. But the highlight of the sockeye salmon forecast is a forecast of 39 million. South Penn would get 1.1 million. This is above the long-term average from 1963, but 35% below the most recent 10-year average. So it's gone down a little bit. On the Alaska salmon harvest summary from 2023, that's just a preliminary. They're still supposed to come out with a more full report. But also on aabfish.org, I posted what Matt Keyes presented to the fishermen's meeting in Seattle. So, opportunity to comment, there is a secretarial amendment to the Salmon FMP for the North Pacific. There's a Salmon FMP. There's two areas, the West Area and the East Area, and this is for the exclusive economic zone. Try not to get in the weeds here too much, but that is from 3 miles out to 200 miles, the federal waters. So in the East Area, you can troll for salmon. In the West Area, there's no fishing, no salmon fishing allowed, except there's these three areas that you've always been able to traditionally fish, Cook Inlet, our area, and in Prince William Sound. So they're in 2012, the feds were trying to put this into writing, and then Cook Inlet Drift Association took exception, and there's been lawsuits. And then the council said, the state said, no, we're not going to take this responsibility working with the studs. And so the council didn't take action, so the secretary did. And so the reason I kind of follow this is because that area between UNIMAC and SNAC could follow this precedent, and it would be under federal management. So we are not planning to make public comment, just to bring more attention to the issue that it could come up in our area, but we are following it and see where it goes. You'll see a map under critical habitat designations. There's for the North Pacific right whale. In the North Aleutian Basin, there's a big area that is already critical habitat, and then a little tiny rectangle south of Kodiak, and there's a proposal to include everything between those two as critical habitat for the North Pacific right whale, which is concerning because critical habitat has certain obligations, and everybody knows about the Stellar Sea Lion critical habitat, and you've got to go through a Section 7 consultation. And so, again, this is concerning. There's not much we can do about it. I have talked with Don Kerlin in when we were in Seattle, and I've talked to Frank Kelty in Dutch Harbor, and it's something that we will probably work together with. When they do come out with a proposed rule, then we'll be able to make formal comment. I'm also a member of the Aleutian Island Waterway Safety Committee, and as soon as that comes up, I'll bring that up again to that committee just for fun. Alaska Peninsula Oil and Gas lease sale, they usually do it in the springtime, but they're doing it in the winter this year. Bidding opens November 20th, and bidding results will be posted December 30th. If anybody bids on any land, that doesn't always happen, I will let people know. The Tanner Crab season 2024 has been announced. The GHL, the guideline harvest level, has gone down for our area. Chignik is not having a season, and Kodiak has also gone down. A little chart there about how it's gone over the years. And then AAB fish tax. You can see that our first quarter fish tax revenue has gone down compared to the previous 5 years, but it's about right in average from 2017 going back to 2010 or so. It's about average, of course. We've had some good years in the past, but it's not like that. You can see most of our are in the pie chart. Most of our revenues come from pollock, about 44%. Pink salmon was 17%, and sockeye
salmon, 10%. And then I've shown, it's not an apples to oranges comparison, but the average price paid, this is just a simple average of averages, but I did the same for the whole fiscal year 2023 and then the first quarter of 2024. Of all these species, only herring, chum, and king salmon have gone up. And those are, I mean, chum salmon was 4%, but herring is 1%, and king salmon less than 1%. So the average price paid per pound is a big part of why our revenue has gone down a little bit. You can see the meetings that we've attended. Thank you, Lenora, for all the work you did at Marine Expo. I thought we had a good meeting down there. Charlotte's still down there. She was attending the groundfish planting, and her report is also in the packet, but she is not here because she is working remotely. I can take any questions if there are.
Ernie, Chris here. Have you heard any more on Peter Pan? And I know that they're working on selling Valdez to Silver Bay. And I don't know, there's rumor about they may get rid of some of their other plants too. And I don't know, I know it's kind of rumor mill, but I don't know, maybe you could just address maybe what you heard or what you might have learned if you did any, if you have, or?
Well, thank you, Chris. This question came up at the work session, and it's Valdez, it looks like it's for sure, and then other assets are unknown. As you say, it's rumor.
Okay. And I'm sorry I couldn't make it to the workshop, but yeah, I know it's a big concern. I mean, yeah.
Big concern, yeah. For us for sure.
Yep. Thanks, Ernie.
One question for Ernie.
Go ahead, Warren.
Since Charlotte's not there, back in the 90s there when I think it was NIMS that was doing, NOAA was doing the taking studies in the Bering Sea, and I talked to the fishermen around here. They wanted me to bring up at this meeting here when I see Charlotte has her tags, you know, in the Pacific side, and then they're showing up in the Bering Sea all the way up to Chukchi Sea. But anyway, I want to make note that when they did those tagging studies on that Bering Sea side, that these guys here, especially Tommy Hovelit and Dean Gould and the guys that fished this area, they told me you got to rethink this here a little bit, because they caught a lot of tags of cod during their cod season in Pavlov Bay and down the peninsula here. So I don't know. Do they have to redo a formula, or like how many tags for cod justifies having those fish tagged in one area and show up in another, or either that it just works both ways there, you know? To be able to ease their minds on which way those fish are going because of the area. Oh, is a brand new fishery out there, and that could be an allocation issue for our area of cod being caught.
Yeah, so I know Charlotte is listening in, and maybe she can answer your question later, but she gave a presentation similar to what she did at the tax workshop down in Seattle, and certainly there's implications for the quotas and the seasons, but I'm going to let Charlotte address it further than that. She gets a chance. She says we're working on that.
Okay, thank you, Ernie.
Other questions for Ernie? Okay. And Charlotte's report is in there, and she gave a real nice report at the Seattle meeting on Friday. So, Jackie.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll sit back in assembly. On the audit that we have sent the draft financial statements to the auditors, they reviewed them and provided comments, and then we should be sending in responses to their comments here within the next week. They're still asking for a couple more items, but that should be wrapping up fairly soon. Nice to get that done. Financial policies and procedures are near complete for the year for the planning cycle. There's just two more policies left, the employee reimbursement requests and new vendor procedures. They shouldn't take too long, and I'm hoping to be able to try to start a couple more that are set for next year, next year's planning cycle. We've already kind of set the priorities for that for next year, so hopefully get a jump start on it once these other two get finished. Then kind of slow in the office after being so busy for a couple of months. I should have more extra time to work on the policies and procedures. But we had a PERS audit that was conducted. It's about every 4 years the state does an audit in our PERS system, and we had an exit meeting set. At the time of writing my report, there was just a meeting date needed to be set. It's been set, and we've conducted the exit meeting, and the PERS audit did come back as a clean audit. So everything's going smoothly in regards to our PERS participation. The day-to-day tasks are running smoothly, and we've approved September financials. We're close to closing out the October financials, just waiting on the last of the receivable information. And other than that, everything's just been running pretty efficient in the office here. I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Jackie. Questions? Okay. So that's all of our staff reports. Nice job. So we are down to assembly comment.
Okay, Warren here got one.
Go ahead, Warren.
Yeah, okay. I just want to give an update here on a couple things about King Cove. For one, we had the state Dowell and the Dowell engineers and the state of Alaska airport people out here last week and inspected the runway here at King Cove. That's why I missed the boat show. But anyway, they did a pretty thorough run around up at the airport, and they're going to come up with a plan for an upgrade at our runway here in King Cove. So I just wanted to get the word out to the people around in the area that King Cove is going to be due for an upgrade here. And then, you can't really tie anything in with, like, the road to Cobra or anything on that avenue. But I know that one of the concerns I have, and I want the people around the area, if they feel they should have some comments on that, we're going to have in a few months, we're going to have another public meeting where we could address some of the issues or concerns they have with our airport and with the air carriers that fly in and out of here. And with an upgrade, I would recommend that people come and try and get this runway over in King Cove here paved to be able to get rid of our soft airport. And with that, mess up the landing gears on the aircraft that do fly in here with the retractable gears. I think we finally outgrown the Cherokee phases of flying in and out of King Cove, and I know that Chris could contest that by flying out of here yesterday with the winds that were whipping up pretty bad. But that's my comment on the airport here, and then with our with our road to Cold Bay, too, I know Annie said that, Shane Walker is the head of the Fish and Wildlife Service and the DOI on that. But then yesterday also we had the ACOM is the contractor that's contracted to do the SEIS. So they just came on board yesterday, too, and are taking all the notes, and they'll be running the meeting from now on. So anyway, I think that's about it. I want to wish everybody well. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Other assembly comments?
This is Daly, Mayor.
Go ahead, Daly.
I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone and happy holidays, and I'll see you in December.
Before that.
Okay. Thank you. Others?
Chris here.
I just want to thank the administrative staff. I was able to attend. I was a little late today. Actually, I like the roads out here because they're like driving back in the village. people are going too slow, and I'm ready for them to speed up because we're used to bumpy roads and everything. But I'm glad I was able to make it to the meeting and see all the work that our administrative staff is doing. And I would like to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody, too. And I'm out for EMS Symposium and learning a lot of things dealing with on the medical side out in the field, and so that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Okay. I just have one. I did go down to the Fish Expo and attended the breakfast, the fishermen's meeting that we put on each year. Cool. And I want to give a big thanks to Charlotte and Ernie for their participation in putting together the meeting, the breakfast, along with Glenora, Annie, and Charlotte, everybody else that was involved in it. But one thing sitting in those fishermen's meetings when we're going through, we had the processors were there, fishermen, state of Alaska, government people, and you can see the growth over the years and the trust. So our natural resources department, with Ernie running it and Charlotte there with him, have got a lot of respect, not only of the processors, the fishermen, and the government agencies that help provide the opportunity to fish and the guidelines on how we fish. But the route that we're taking, the road we're going down on operating with them with our fisheries, I think we've put a lot, the boroughs put a lot on the table, and it's much appreciated by the whole area, and whether it's processors, fishermen, government staff. So kudos to them. And for Glenora for working as hard as she was to put this the booth together. And I really like the changeover to the banners rather than packing all those pictures around. It's kind of nice. So, and to the rest of the staff, you guys do a great job. I thank you, and I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. So with that, if there's any public out there, are there any other public comments? If not, next meeting date is December 14th, and I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
Engaging some of it.
Some of it.